Jesus said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." I've read that so many times, but it wasn't until preparing for this sermon I actually dug into what that meant, what it was about, and it gave me a huge reminder about this being a Judeo-Christian faith we are in, and it's important for us to understand the Jewish basis behind that, because what Jesus shared in that synagogue reading was from Isaiah, and that reading tells us about, it gives implications to something written in Leviticus, where Moses was instructing the people in Israel, how do you walk the walk? How do you actually live the life of being the people of God? And he was explaining that there was to be a Sabbath. There was also to be a Sabbath year. So every 7 years, there would be a year of rest of the crops. And every 50th year, there would be a Jubilee year. And the purpose of the Jubilee year was to re-index any loans that were given out were forgiven. Anyone who was serving as a slave to work out a debt was free, was to be freed. This was to be a time of restoration and release. Restoration and release. And so that concept of there being a Jubilee year was referred to in Isaiah as the year of God's favor. The year of God's favor. And so if we look through the history of this, Nehemiah was a governor of Judah, of Jerusalem. But before that, he was one of the exiles who, when Jerusalem was destroyed in 586 BC, he was pulled off to Babylon with all the rest of the Jews. And they were in exile in Babylon for something like 40 years. And it was then that the king of Persia released them a little bit at a time. There were actually three journeys back from Babylon back to Jerusalem. And Nehemiah was someone who said, "I've heard that the wall has never been rebuilt around Jerusalem." And that to me is a great symbol that we really have been released. There really is a restoration of the people of Israel. And so he asked the king for permission to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild that wall. And the king granted the permission. He went back and within, I think it was 55 days, rebuilt the wall. And it was just this huge case of lots of volunteers, lots of craftsmen all pitching in order to get that wall put back together. And he sat back and thought, well, that's really great. There's only one problem. The people of Jerusalem whom I see have been away so long. They've been scattered for so long. They've been away from faithful worship of Yahweh for so long that they've forgotten what it means. And so he dragged the priest Ezra into the village square and said, "I want you to read the Pentateuch to these guys. I want you to read them, the first five books, the law. I want you to read it to them." And so all the people were gathered and Ezra read the Bible. And people heard about the love of God. They heard about the assignment to be God's people. They heard about the Ten Commandments. They heard about the walk that Jesus, that God was asking them to walk. And the scripture today from Nehemiah says they started crying. And what they were crying about was they realized how far they'd wandered from walking the walk. That they had been so separated from the tradition of their forefathers and mothers that they forgot what it was about. And they were so sorry that they cried. Well, that was clearly not the year of the Lord's favor, right? And so there was a Messiah yet to come. And a lot of what Isaiah wrote about was the plan for a Messiah. Remember, we talked about this a few sermons ago. Messiah is Hebrew for anointed. And the Greek for that same word is Christos, where we get the word Christ. And so, excuse me. And so there was to be another Messiah to come, or a Messiah yet to come. And so Jesus was announcing in that day, in that prayer meeting, in that synagogue, in his hometown of Nazareth, that he was that person, because he would be bringing release and restoration. So now we can skip chronologically to the next thing that happens. Paul writes his letter to the Corinthians. And we started some of that reading from chapter 12 of Corinthians last week, where he's describing the spiritual gifts. And our understanding is that those spiritual gifts were really only present in the prophets of our Hebrew scripture time. And it was with the ministry of Jesus and through our baptism that every one of us receives the Holy Spirit. And so God the Spirit lives in every one of us, not just the prophets. And so what Paul is explaining is that these gifts we've got are ways that we are empowered not to be proud of our own accomplishment, but so that we can work together to accomplish amazing things to the glory of God. This is about us recognizing the importance of servanthood and of sacred relationships. We are in a faith tradition of honoring sacred relationships. So I just got a bunch of reminders of that over the last week, and I wanted to share some of them with you. And one of them was regarding our preschool. Carol sent me an email that had the schedule for the children's chapel for the rest of the year. And it was showing all of the Bible story topics and character value lessons that she and Reverend Artis are volunteering their own time. And it's a lot of work to put together this whole program so that this awareness of God's grace is communicated to these 41 kids who attend this school. What an amazing gift this is to this church and this community. And it's about seeing God's favor at work. It's seeing those gifts that Paul talked about. One of them was teacher. And it's just an awesome example of how God's power allows that kind of ministry to happen here, and for these two very generous people to make it happen. Another example is the service that was held here yesterday. We had a celebration of life, the burial office for Bob Alvey. And you can see that there are still the flowers along the edge rails here that were carefully put together. There are the flower arrangements on the reredos that were put together. These were done by two of our church members here. We also had James leading us with guitar for a couple of the songs. We had the McGill family in the front row here. They were our choir, and we had wonderful vocal leadership. And we also had a completely filled room. We had 57 people here for that service yesterday. And there was just this sense that everybody shared with me as the service was over about how comfortable they felt and how welcome they felt and how beautiful this chapel looked and how they just felt so included and comfortable. And then they walked into the parish hall, and I hope you get to go in there for a cup of coffee, or at least to say hi to our new deacon. And the parish hall was all set up by more volunteers who came in and decorated and set up tables and chairs. I think this is walking the walk, because the whole purpose of this was to honor a family who, for the last few years, as long as I've been here, I'd not met them before. And I think it was 3 to 4 years ago, maybe, that they stopped being able to attend because they were just too frail to be able to come. They'd been very, very active here for years. And what this showed was they weren't forgotten. We're not neglecting them. We care about them. We're connected because it's a spiritual relationship. Okay. Another is absolutely my feeling so blessed about the assistance that you and I all get to have by having Reverend Artis decide that this is her home place, and to have her share her gifts of ministry through chapel and through the journeys and all the different ways that she helps with ministry. And now for Bishop Mary, actually, I should start with Deacon Tina, talking to Bishop Mary about being assigned here for her diaconal ministry one Sunday a month. I just see that as such a blessing for a community this size to have so much great leadership so that we can have lots of things going on with lots of energy and lots of passion. And so I really look forward to that. It's just so much fun working with the two of you, and we're going to have lots of fun. Another thing I have to tell you about, because I'm just so excited about it, and I'm going to get into more detail at the annual meeting to really talk about the implication of all this, but you need to know how important and valuable it is that Alice Enyart and I, when we went to the Board of Trustees meeting in Salinas, the board agreed with our presentation, and they have thrown out our being a restoration church, and we are returned to full parish status. And that is such a huge deal. It really is huge, because it really means that we are guaranteed the autonomy of being our own parish. If the option was that if we were not able to fulfill that step, we would be reverted to mission status. And that's not the path we want to go. We want to show that we have the programs, we have the infrastructure, we have the vision, we have the planning that means that this is a healthy place. And so the board agreed with all of that and said, okay, you're no longer a restoration church, you're fully returned to parish status. I see this as the year of God's favor. I just see all these ways that God's gifts are at work, that the passions of people are working so strongly to make this a place that really has a transformational impact on us. I saw that so alive yesterday. I see it so alive in the preschool. I see it so alive with the clergy leadership here that we're ending up being able to put together. It doesn't even make logical sense that all this is happening, but it's happening. And I just want you to be as excited as I am about the great things that are happening. I just pray that 2019 be the year of the Lord's favor for each of you and for this whole faith family and in everything that we take on. Amen.